I'm teaching on the subject of emotional healing and development. This is not a new topic. I've taught on it before. And it's brought up now because I believe that's the way that the Lord is actually leading me to teach on this today. And let me mention from now that next week, Lord dropped a word in my spirit this week, and it's just lit my spirit up. It lit my spirit up like crazy. And I'll be teaching on that next week, actually. It's a beautiful word that's from the Lord, and powerful messages in the scriptures I'm going to share with you next week. So keep that in mind. We're in a season now of blessing, a season of God's outpouring, and God is going to pour his spirit out upon those that are ready and prepared to receive him and to receive his purposes and to do his will. So, emotional healing and development. First of all, let me remind you, we are a tripart being. We know this already. Okay, we are a spirit, we possess a soul, and we live in a body. Okay, our soul also is a tripart a container, if you like. The soul part of us, it has three compartments, let's put it that way. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. And again, these we know, and today we're going to focus on a little bit on the emotional side of things, because we live in a volatile world, and we live in a world where there's lots of things going on. There's lots of hurts, there's lots of pains, and believers and non-believers go through hurts and go through pains. But the beautiful thing is that we must never forget, once again, that God has already provided for our every need. And we're going to see this, or be reminded of this today. And hopefully at the end of this, I want to really pray, maybe pray for some individuals that need prayer, if you need prayer. So let's talk about our emotions. Let's define it very quickly. Our emotions, what are they? They are feelings on the inside moving in a direction. That's the simplest definition I've used through the years. I'm not going to change it. Emotions are feelings on the inside, and those feelings are moving you in a direction. The direction can be good, or the direction can be bad. But that's the simplest definition that I have for emotions. Now, our emotions, let me give you some facts. Our emotions are God-given, number one. Number two, they have a purpose. Number three, they are influenced by our mind and also our will. I've spoken several times about our mind. I've also even taught you about our will, what it is. And I produced some years ago a booklet on our will, the whole topic of the will. Our emotions can be controlled. Even though some people behave like they can't be controlled, they can be controlled. As a matter of fact, your emotions brought you to church this morning. And maybe emotions have kept others from coming to church this morning. Because they're feelings on the inside and they move us. Our emotions lead us somewhere. And the last two, I put scriptures on because God has emotions and also Jesus does as well. So remember that we're made in the image of God, okay? And after his likeness, Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Our emotions, beautiful though they are, and they are a God-given part of us, and we need them to function. Without your emotions, you couldn't worship this morning. So they're a God-given part of us, and they're important for our well-being and our functioning. But our emotions can be wounded. They can be hurt. They can be damaged. And, you know, when that happens, then a whole other process needs to happen to bring healing to those emotions. So a wounded emotion occurs when someone or something brings hurt to your emotions. So hurt is a key thing that comes and brings change, if you like, to your emotions on the negative side, because it's wounded, it's hurt. But a couple of statements of truth, let me just flash them up quickly, because I'm going somewhere, that's why I'm sort of rushing this part. Number one, anything that attempts to pull you away from the truth of God's word is an enemy, and it needs to be confronted. We've got to recognize that, and we've got to come to that conclusion in our minds and in our hearts. Anything that wants to pull you away from the truth of God's word is an enemy and needs to be confronted. I say this, while I was ministering last week, I noticed there was a lot of busyness, and the Lord spoke to me afterwards and told me to warn God's people, especially when the word is going forth, not to be busy. There was a lot of busyness last week. People going in, people going out, fidgeting, moving. And these are all distractions. And sometimes, I'm going to say, a ploy of the enemy to distract you or to pull you away from the truth of God's word. Are you with me, church? All right? So we've got to be careful of the subtlety of the enemy. Because he doesn't want you to get that truth that's going to set you free. He doesn't want you healed so that you can worship God and remind him of where he was, Satan this is, and the position that he had before he fell. So we've got to be careful of that. That's the first moment of truth. The second one, any expression of the emotion that is contrary to the balanced teaching of Scripture is sin. So it's I could tell you stories, really, even within church. I could tell you stories of conversations I've had to have with people because emotions are taking them in a different direction than where it ought to take them, and the consequences of that and the effects of that behavior on the wider congregation and on themselves and on the individuals as well. So any expressions of the emotions that is contrary to the balanced teaching of Scripture is sin. So let's look at briefly at some sources of hurt, because we're talking today about emotional healing. So what can cause it? Let's look at some of the sources of emotional healing, of hurts or wounds. Number one, offense from others. Offense taken from others. Now, let me just say this very quickly. The Bible talks about not giving offense, but the Bible also talks about not taking offense. But you've got to balance things with the whole teaching of God's word. You are got to, as a Christian, you must understand that you will bring offense to others that are not Christians. For example, you worshiping God, you going to church, you bringing your Bible, you quoting Scripture, you praying, you talking to somebody about God, even in the workplace, will bring offense to people. But that should not stop you from doing what God has called you to do. All right? So I just need to mention that so we bring balance, okay? But there are things like tale-bearing, gossiping, backbiting, and all these kind of things that do cause hurt to individuals' emotions. And so we've got to be careful how we use our tongue, how we use our words. Because most times, these offenses come through that medium, not just what we do, but what we say. Number two, our own sinful behavior. There's so much more I could say on that. But number two, our sinful behavior. And that can also be a source of wound. Disobeying God's word, disobeying God's command, disobeying counsel that's been given can bring hurt to your own emotion. And the scriptures are there. Psalm 25:18, Proverbs 17:19, 2 Samuel 24, verse 10. Number three, the third thing that can bring wounds to our emotions is a calamity, being overcome by a calamity. And all we need to do is mention Job, and we all know the story about Job and what happened there. Job lost everything in one day. Everything in one day. But I love the end part of Job, where it all ends. The Bible says God gave Job twice as much as he had before. And why? Because even though he was going through stuff, he still had time for other people. He prayed for his friends. That's what Job 42 verse 10 says. Now, a calamity can also be bereavement. It can be marital failure. These cause harm and damage to our emotions, abuse, criticism, and the list goes on really. Number four, the fourth thing that causes hurts to our emotions, drugs and alcohol abuse. These things can cause hurt and pain and damage because we're abusing, if you like, our body. And remember now, your body is just part of you. It's your earth suit that contains, as we saw earlier, other things in it. And so, number five, involvement with the occult. That can also cause emotional harm and danger. The Bible has a lot to say about that. Warnings about, you know, horoscopes, tattoos, warnings about, you know, reading these things and getting involved with those things. I was reading, I shared it with you, didn't I? About a group of children in Brazil, girls, a group of girls in Brazil that fooled around with a Ouija board and they ended up in hospital because they didn't know what they were doing. And we shared it in a prayer meeting for those of you who were there. What were they doing? Involving themselves with the occult and spirits. And it comes in and it causes hurts, not just physically, but also emotionally and mentally, intellectually, and otherwise as well. Those girls ended up in hospital. So we say just five things I've named there. There are more. But let me move on to symptoms. What are some of the symptoms that we can see from anyone that has been hurt or been harmed emotionally? Number one, the pain never goes away. It just doesn't go away. It's there. And so if it's there, it needs to be confronted. It needs to be dealt with. Remembering the experience that causes the hurt also prolongs the hurt that's there and prevents healing from taking place. What other symptoms are there? Well, physical symptoms, nerve disorders, allergies, stomach problems, heartaches, insomnia. But there are also some mental symptoms, depression, fits of anger, rage, confusion, various fears, nightmares, hearing voices, seeing unusual things. I've dealt with some of these things in the past through talking to individuals. I remember when I was looking at this yesterday, I was remembering someone who was hearing voices. Just hearing voices and, you know, and also seeing unusual things as well. Same person. And it didn't take me too long to find out what was happening and what was going on. And we had to, I had to sort of pray and break those powers that was over that individual's life. But it was a symptom of a mental or emotional harm, but manifesting itself in a mental way, okay, in the mind. But there are other symptoms as well, intellectual symptoms. So now, a person that has emotional harm, emotional hurt, emotional damage in their lives, they have difficulties in forming meaningful relationships. They're good people, but somehow they have difficulty, they have trouble in forming healthy and sound relationships. Maybe because of the trauma that they've been in so long, maybe because of bad decisions that they've made, maybe because they've convinced themselves that, well, I always go for the bad guy. And I've, you know, you and I, I'm certain, have heard that so many times. And these things can cause hurts and damages, a poor self-image. You look at yourself poorly. You look down on yourself. You talk bad about yourself. You look yourself in the mirror and all you have to say is negative things. Relationship dominance or dependency is also an intellectual symptom. A pessimistic outlook on life. Always seeing the negative, never seeing the positive. Always seeing the reason why you can't or why it won't happen rather than the reason why it can happen and should happen. And lack of self-control. These are some of the intellectual symptoms that exist. Now, people respond in different ways. And I'm going to give you some of the ways in which people respond on the next screen. Some people respond to these hurts, these pains, these symptoms that they see, okay, by ignoring the problem. And if you, how many people know if you ignore the problem, it won't go away? It won't go away. Remember when I talked about going from the problem to the solution? I've taught this several times as well over the years. The first step is what? Identifying the problem. See, you've got to face it. You've got to deal with it. You've got to identify it. You've got to say, you know what? This is an issue, and I've got to confront it. I've got to do something about it. I can't just ignore it. So the first thing is some of the ways in which people respond, they ignore it, and that's not the solution. They turn inwardly and have a pity party. We looked at Hagar last week, and we saw that Hagar had a pity party, didn't get her anywhere. And the angel of the Lord had to come down and confront her and challenge her with her party that she was having. And some people meditate on the hurt until anger erupts, the scriptures are there, or bitterness sets in. Again, the scriptures are there. Hebrews 12:15 tells us, beware lest roots of bitterness springing up cause trouble in your life. So it compounds the problem when we don't deal with it, or when we deal with it the wrong way. When you think about the problem more than you're thinking about the solution, okay, bitterness can set in. Hate on the plate. Some people just write, that's it, I hate you, and that's it. I want nothing more to do with you. And now hate comes into their heart. And again, that does not solve the problem. That compounds it, because now something else is placed on top of something that you're already dealing with. And the two are negative. Revenge and fear also sets in. And the people, these are some of the ways in which people respond. But this one as well is important, that on the bottom there. People sometimes lash out. They're feeling hurt and they're feeling pain. So sometimes it's not so much you as such. You could have nothing to do with the problem, but you're just in there at that moment, at that time, talking to the individual, and then suddenly, bam, they lash out. And lash out because something else on the inside is happening. Something else is going on. Are you with me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Okay. Good. Now, when people deal with things the wrong way, different things can happen. And I'm going to show you now some of the things that can happen and why these things can happen. And the first thing is, wars can go up. When we deal with things, emotional hurts and problems the wrong way, wars can go up. And these are just some, I'm going to give you 10 things that causes wars to go up. Number one, neglect. Number two, injury caused through criticism that we mentioned already. Number three, insults or unkind words. When you constantly speak unkind words, wars can go up in people's life. When you abuse, number four, folks, whether it's physical abuse, verbal abuse, emotional, or even sexual abuse, wars can go up. And number five, guilt. They feel guilty over something, or they feel guilty over something. And the guilt just won't go away. They just feel guilty about something. And maybe the thing that they even feel guilty over, they should not feel guilty about it. But somehow they take it on board and they feel guilt. So the guilt can be, it can be justified in terms of, well, they can cause that guilt to really be there. Or it could be because of something that has nothing to do with that, but they just take it on, and there's something else going on there as well. Number six, fear of not being loved if the truth is revealed. Number seven, selfishness. Self-centeredness, very dominant in the world right now. The same thing that's in little babies, little toddlers, we can find in adults, where I, me, and myself is the most important thing. And that can cause walls to go up, because when you come and you're talking to a selfish person, all they're doing is talking about themselves, their needs, and they're not listening to you, and perhaps what you're sharing, their needs. Pride, number eight, is another thing that can cause walls to go up. And fear of betrayal, number nine. And number 10, grudges, past offenses that have not been dealt with. And these things, when walls go up and when nothing is done, now a person's spirit can be closed. That's a lot of information. I told you this. There's a lot of information I'm giving you today, because now we're going to talk about things that can close a person's spirit. But we're going to get to the solution of this now and take it to, you know, where we need to go. All right, so how to close a person's spirit? Harsh words, speaking harsh words. And by that, you can write down, if you're taking notes, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. Number two, belittling a person's opinion. No matter what they say, you talk down on them, you belittle them, you don't listen to them, really. You're just expressing what you feel, or you're making what they say feel insignificant and small or meaningless. Number three, unwillingness to admit when you are wrong. That's a big one. Unwillingness to admit when you are wrong. Because that causes all sorts of different things now. Because no matter what, you are wrong. And there's pride riding there somewhere when a person behaves like this. Unwillingness to admit when you are wrong. It's just, if you're wrong, just admit you're wrong. Just say, you know what, I got it wrong. I thought I was right, but I got it wrong. I'm sorry. And those words, I'm sorry, can do so much and bring a relationship so much further in togetherness than just staying there in your stubbornness, in your pride, you know, not willing to admit that you were wrong when you know you're wrong. All right, number four. These are ways of closing a person's spirit. Taking someone for granted. In any level of relationship, whether you're married or not, taking someone for granted, that can close a person's spirit. Will take them long before they recognize that's what's happening. Making sarcastic jokes or comments, that can also close a person's spirit. Number six, distrust or having a secret bank account. Again, in my own experiences in pastoring, I've dealt with this kind of thing in the past with individuals where they had secret bank accounts. And sometimes when you speak to individuals, well, I've got this account just in case a marriage don't work. Or they're coming from a hurtful place where they were divorced in the past, and going into the future, they've now got an account that they didn't tell the current wife or husband, and they've got that there, and then somehow, you know, how many people know anything hiding darkness always come out in light? And when it comes out in light, that's not a pretty thing, because now that person doesn't trust the individual. Now trust is broken. And it takes time for trust to be built up again. And it's not easy sometimes dealing with that. Forcing someone to do something, number seven, that they are uncomfortable to do. And number eight, being rude. I shouldn't laugh. Being rude in front of others. You know, that's just embarrassing, really. And, you know, rude behavior, there's no excuse for rude behavior. Being rude in front of other people. What are some of the symptoms? How can I know if a person's spirit, how can I know if my spirit is closed? How can I know? Because you may be saying, well, okay, these are all good, but none of them refer to me. Well, let me give you the symptoms, and then you judge. So let me give you, I think, six or five symptoms. I can't remember, it doesn't matter. Symptoms of a closed spirit. Number one, feelings of tension. There's always tension in the atmosphere. There's tension inside of you. You feel it. And trust me, sometimes what you feel, others can sense. So there's feelings of tension, and you know it because the atmosphere is not what it was. There's a change that's going on. So there's just feelings of tension. And sometimes we can see it. You see the silhouette? You can sometimes see it through people's body language. Number two, you have an argumentative attitude. It's like, have you ever spoken to someone and it's like the least, anything that you say, it's like they're ready for an argument? Yeah, well, person's spirit is closed. Not maybe by you. Maybe, but something has happened in that individual's life, okay, where they're ready to just have an argument, and it's with anybody and anything, because something else has happened. It's harm that's done. Loss of physical intimacy. And this refers now to, particularly to married people. You just lose that appetite or that desire for intimacy with your partner. this happens. Number four, negative verbal, just spoke about that, or non-verbal signals. The folding of the hands, the cutting of the eye, the turning away of the head, the stance that people take sometimes. What are some of the other negative signals? You tell me. Nobody? I can't hear you.
Eye rolling.
Eye rolling? Yes, eye rolling. Yeah, that's a negative thing. What else is there?
Turning your back.
What else? Yeah, even the silent treatment. In silent treatment, in our early marriage, I used to give Joy a lot of silent treatment. A lot of silent treatment. And you know, praise God, we're not there anymore. But anyway, what else? No, that's not why. Going to the edge of the bed. No, I sleep on the edge of the bed deliberately. I sleep right there. And she, by the way, you almost pushed me off last night. I just had to wake up and I said, Joy, I'm falling off the bed. You're just sucking my body heat. Anyway, no, that's not one. But now, okay. What else is there? Anything comes to your mind?
Walking away.
Walking away? Yeah. In the middle of an argument, you just walk away. Kissing your teeth. You see? No, you see? Yeah. And that's rude as well, actually. But then, guess what? Folks are hurt. Are you following me, folks? Mm-hmm. This hurt, there's something else deeper going on inside. Now, we're going to get to solutions anyway. Praise God, there's a solution. Okay? Negative nonverbal signals. So that was four. All right. So that's some of the symptoms of individuals of a closed spirit. Now, I'm going to give you six ways to open a person's spirit. And this is so important, folks, because we're talking about the solution here now. So if somebody is kissing their teeth and walking away, the solution is not you doing the same thing. Sometimes people do need space. And you're going to recognize that. And so therefore, the wisdom of God is so necessary to make sure that you're doing the right thing to help and not hinder or compound. All right, so six ways to open a person's spirit. Number one, and this may seem trivial, but it's not. Ask for forgiveness. That's the first thing. It's like admitting that you're wrong. Just say, look, listen, please forgive me if my attitude was wrong. Please forgive me for, you know, my words or my actions of stepping away. Coming back and asking for forgiveness. That's the beginning thing. That's a key thing in opening up a person's spirit that's been closed. You want communication to go back to what it was? That's what you got to do. Ask for forgiveness. And please, some folks have this thing where it comes to forgiveness, well, I'm not ready to forgive yet. No. You do no. No. I see nowhere in Scripture where you are let off the hook by not forgiving someone for hurt or harm done to you because you're not ready yet. No. You do that, or you begin at least, you begin the process immediately. I am not discounting the hurt that's been done, because we're talking about emotional harm, and sometimes emotional harm takes longer to heal than physical harm, and I'm well aware of that. But I'm also aware of the enemy who can come in and speak to individuals and say, well, you know, I'm not ready to forgive yet, and God understands what you've been through, and all that kind of thing. So you've got to be careful who you take counsel from as well. Because if people give you the wrong advice, they will not be helping you, but they will be keeping you in that position where you're in. And so ask for forgiveness. Remember now, the scripture tells us that unless we forgive others who have hurt us or have harmed us, God won't forgive us. That's a condition, church. And so it's not something that... How many people want to live their life without God forgiving you? Mm-hmm. Nobody does. And you don't know when the rapture's coming. The rapture could come while I'm preaching. The rapture, you could pass away at any time, any moment. We do not have control over those two factors. So we've got to get right with God's program immediately. Asking for forgiveness, number one. Number two, speak softly. Proverbs 15:1, there it is. Speak softly. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a grievous word stir up anger. A soft word. Could somebody look it up for me? I know it, but I just can't. A soft word. No. No. Sorry? A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Thank you, Claude. That is it. A grievous word stir up anger. Speak softly, man. Sometimes when you lower your tone, and I know that's something I've had to do over the years because I'm sort of, you know, I'm sort of, everybody's different, but I'm sort of, I've got a forceful voice, I believe. And I've had to learn to, at times in certain situations to speak softly and to lower my voice and to, you know, I had an incident on the road the day before yesterday. And I stopped because, and I had to just come out and say to the lady, are you okay? And at first she didn't mind, and I'm like, you know, black guy, white woman, two kids, white kids in the car. So maybe she didn't know me, she didn't know anything else, so I smiled. My smile always works. And then she wound down the glass a little bit, and I said, are you okay? And then she said, yeah. It's the children. She got distracted in her driving with the children, and you know, she asked me, is there any damage to her car? So I said, no, there's no damage to your car. And so I said to her, you know, just go on your way now and you know, be at peace. Words to that effect, I said to her. And then I drove off and I prayed for her. You know, I said, Lord, just keep her safe. Bring her to where she's going. I do that a lot, folks. Sometimes I see people. I'm driving, but I see people. And I say, Lord, bless that individual. Father, reveal yourself to that person walking on the street there. Lord, that pregnant woman, keep her safe. I just randomly pray for folk as I drive past them. Because I know that my prayer is valuable to God and God hears. They may not know what I've done, but God does. I might not know them, but God does know them. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what's around the corner, but God does. You never know what your prayer can do. Just, you think it's just a random prayer. It's not random, it's going to a God. Yes, you're randomly praying for people, but it's deliberately going to God who sees the individual you're praying for. And here's an answer's prayer. So speaking softly is one way of closing a person's spirit. It was so different. She was so relaxed. She came out of the car and started talking.
Did you
want me
to read that verse?
Yeah, read. Oh, yes. Sorry. Proverbs 15, verse 1. I think we got it, but go on.
It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words
stir up anger. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Trevor. Sorry, say it again. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Thank you very much. Number three, understand what has happened. Understand what's happened in the situation. Why is this person's spirit closed? Why are they behaving like that? Why are these symptoms there? And sometimes people want to talk, but, you know, give them that listening ear. Give them that time. Make time. And that's why I always say, encourage people not to rush through these doors after church, but even here, you know. And when more people begin to come, and people are going to come, and we're going to find people that are coming in, they're going to be hurting. And then these messages, these principles, these lessons that we're learning, we put into action. While they're drinking their coffee and they're talking, you are talking to them, and you're listening to them, and finding out more about their lives. Okay? Listen to what's happened to them, to people that want to share. Number four, acknowledge the person's hurt. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. All right. Number five, touch the other person gently. And again, wisdom is needed here, but sometimes in certain situations, a gentle touch is a reassurance. It's sending the signal, hey, I got you. I hear you. I understand. I'm with you. Hey, I got your back. But it's got to be at the right place at the right time. Are you hearing me, what I'm saying? You know, it's not always appropriate. So you've got to use wisdom again. Touch a person gently. And number six, seek forgiveness and wait for a response. See, number one, ask for forgiveness. See, number six, seek forgiveness. Number one, you ask for it, but you don't always get it immediately because the person might still be hurt. So you seek it. You don't say, well, at least I ask for forgiveness, that's it, I'm not going to do that. No, no. Seek it. So it means that time has to pass at times, and we've got to be patient waiting for people. But you've got to seek it and wait for a response. Okay, so what now? Good, I'm glad you asked. This is what now? Number one. Not these things. Number one, God knows how you feel. Listen to me. There's nothing that's happened to you that God doesn't know about, number one. Number two, that he doesn't care about. And number three, that he doesn't have a solution for. So no matter how big it seems, no matter how hurt you are, God sees and God knows. And he's got an answer. He's got a solution for you. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Psalm 51 verse 17 says, number two, understand that God is near you. Okay? The Lord is near those that are of a broken spirit and saves such as have a contrite heart. Psalm 34 and verse 18. By the way, contrite. I don't know I taught this before, but let me just remind you what it means. The word contrite, because the Bible, I use two verses that mention that word contrite. And the word contrite means a feeling or expression of remorse at the fact that one has done wrong. That's what the word contrite means. A feeling or an expression of remorse at the fact that one has done wrong. What does it say about that? What about that? Well, the scripture is saying, this scripture here is saying that the Lord is near to those that have a broken spirit, and saves such as have a contrite heart. So if you're remorseful in what you've done, you know, God will save you. Isn't that good news? God will save you. Now the enemy will want to keep on reminding you about what has happened, but no, you don't have to listen to the enemy. Listen to God's word. Listen to wise counsel. You brought it to God, you're remorseful, God has forgiven you. As a matter of fact, he's forgotten about what you did. So sometimes we go to God and God says, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Because from the east is as far to the west, so have I removed your sins from you. That's what the Bible says. Cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Never to be remembered anymore. But the enemy wants to bring things up to keep us on hold, to keep us feeling guilty, to bring us down, to not let us go on, to not let us develop, to not let us move on and progress in God, to keep us from fulfilling our purpose. But church, it's high time we recognize that and pull down his plans in Jesus' name. Pull it down and say, devil, you may think that you've had me, but you haven't got me in Jesus' name. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to get up. Pain may be in my heart. Tears may be running down my cheeks. But I'm going to rise from this. And I'm going to serve God. It's not just saying it, you see. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to fulfill my purpose. Number three. God can heal your heart. And I'm giving you scriptures for all of these because and it's just one scripture for each. But Lord God, there's so much there. God can heal your heart. No matter what the hurt, no matter what the pain, no matter how deep it is, no matter how long it is, God can heal it. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. Number four, God can take away your sorrow. So not only heal your heart, but take away your sorrow. Oh gosh, isn't that good? Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And that's, I believe, you know, especially when you come before God, God wants you to have a cheerful spirit. He wants you to have a cheerful countenance, a smile on your face. And if you can't, because of hurt, there's healing that's made available. Let me give you a warning. I'm coming to a close. Let me give you a warning. A wounded heart that does not receive healing from God is an open door for evil spirits. And you better believe that. Because some people want to stay with that hurt. You know what? It's a funny thing to say, but it's true. I've lived long enough in life to see it more than one time. There are times when people just, it's like they want to stay hurt. So that they can have that pity party, so that they can continue to feel sorry for themselves and let others feel sorry for them. Oh, poor me, look at me. Look what happened to me. Look at the harm that's done to me. Look at what they did to me. And with that, sometimes comes a refusal to not receive healing from God because of the stubbornness that exists. And many a time people don't realize it, but they remain in that mold. Demons are lurking and ready to pounce, ready to jump in, ready to come in, because now they see an open door. Oh my gosh. Conclusion. If you want what God has, you have to do what God says. Again, I've been a Christian long enough to know this. There's no shortcuts in God. No shortcuts. And what I've just finished reading the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And what I've seen time and time again is God warning his people, giving them his laws, and saying, listen, the motivation, this is the good, this is the blessing. This is what's going to come if you obey me, if you serve me, if you put away from you the gods of your enemies, if you don't associate yourself with them, if you obey my instructions, if you carry out my commands, if you carry out what the things that I'm telling you to do, do it, and these blessings will follow you. Your enemies will not triumph over you. You rule over them. Because 430 years before Israel entered into Canaan, Abraham was already living there. And God said to Abraham, this land where you're on, I'm going to give to your generations. But then at one scripture, at one point, he told Abraham that that they're going to go into captivity first before they get it. For 430 years. 430 years. They're going to go into captivity. And they went into captivity. As a matter of fact, God told this as well to Joshua and also to Moses before Moses died. He called them both. At Joshua's inauguration, when Joshua was inaugurated to take over from Moses, it was only the two of them that was invited to that inauguration. And God started off by telling them that, you know, he's going to bring them in and Joshua's going to lead them in. And Joshua, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to, the same anointing that's been on the prophet Moses is going to be upon you. I've called you and I've charged you and I've anointed you to lead my people into Canaan. But it won't happen yet. Because despite the fact that I've given all of these promises to them and I've shown them and demonstrated my power to them, they're going to disobey me. They're going to drift away from me. So I'm going to allow their enemies to ride over them. I'm going to allow them to go into captivity. And they did more than once. Not just in Egypt, in Babylon as well, with the Babylonian captivity. But God is so faithful. Oh my gosh. He's so faithful. And God is so merciful. And God is such a loving God. We can't begin to comprehend that, church. God's love is so enormous and powerful that no matter what harm, no matter what wrong was done, God was still there. Even at one point, he said to Moses, now listen, he said to Moses at one point, stand aside, I'm going to destroy them and raise up for you another generation. He wasn't going to do that. I don't think he was going to do that. No, God would have done it if he, but you know. You know. Anybody ever get you sort of... Now, listen carefully. We're talking about our God here, that our patient God. We come nowhere near, can I say this? Nowhere near the patience that God has. We come nowhere near it. But yet, they drove God to a point where that's what he wanted to do. But God is omniscient, you see. He knows everything. And he knew that Moses would have said no, because what would your enemies say? You took them out of Egypt, but you couldn't bring them into the land that you promised them. We've got to be obedient. We've got to do what God says. All right. So, I think this is the last screen coming up. Steps of preparation. I think this is the last screen. Number one, identify your hurt. Identify. Identify the cause. What caused it? What caused this harm? What caused this hurt? Identify. Number two, ask for forgiveness. We've seen that already. We've spoken about it already. Ask for forgiveness. Whether you're the one hurt or you're the one that caused the hurt, ask for forgiveness, man. Ask for forgiveness. Now, if somebody's hurt you, don't always expect them to come and to forgive you. Sometimes, even when you know they know they've done wrong, you know they've done wrong. But you can ask for it, but I wouldn't say don't bank on it. Trying to find the right words here. Don't place yourself in a situation where, I can't move on until I get it. No, don't do that. And that's why you've got to look at both sides. So, they've done you wrong, okay? But there are times now, there's always a time where we are the ones who's going to have to forgive them for the hurt they've done. Because if you don't, you'll be hooked and grasp by that hurt, by that pain, and it will be there no matter what. But you see, if you forgive them, okay, Lord, they haven't apologized, but guess what? I forgive them. You know what happens? Forgiveness equals? Let God appear. Release that hurt. How can I know if I've truly forgiven? How can I know that I've let it go? Because the next time you see the individual, you have peace, they may not, but you do. And when you see that individual, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, because it doesn't make sense, it surpasses the logic. Right? That's what you have in your heart. And that hurt, second way you can know, that hurt won't come back up. You remember. Somebody said, forgive and forget. You don't always forget. You don't always forget. Am I right or am I right?
Yeah.
I'm right, okay. You don't always forget, but that hurt and that pain and that feeling, even if you feel something coming up, you say, no, you talk to yourself, and you talk to yourself hard and say, no, I've released that. I'm not taking it back in Jesus' name. And you greet them. You hug them, sincerely too. You talk to them. And it doesn't really mean that you're in agreement with what they did. But it means that you are free from that hurt and from that pain. Listen, I've been living life a long time, and I've been through a lot of this myself. You know? And I'm talking it easy, and I know sometimes it's not. There are times in my life where I've even struggled in that area. But I've got no choice. Because the third step says, forgive those who have wronged you. I've got to do that. I've got to forgive those who have wronged me. For the reasons I just mentioned. Listen, man, claim your healing. So, identify the hurt. Ask for forgiveness. Forgive those who have wronged you. Claim your healing. And receive it by faith. It's already provided. It's part of your salvation package. God already knew about the hurt that you have that, you know, is there before it happened. Before it happened, you know, God knew about it. And so God prepared beforehand everything that you need. 1 Peter 2:1-3. God already prepared everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. so that you can be the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that he wants you to be. So I've tried to simplify this. Identify the problem. Ask forgiveness. Forgive those who have wronged you. Claim your healing. God's got it. Claim it. Claim it. Don't just sit there and say, okay, Father, you know. No. Claim it. Claim it. Take it. It's yours. Take it, man. Take it. And take it by faith. Everything's done by faith. Everything is done by faith. Without faith, Hebrews 11 verse 6, it's impossible to please him. Because he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he rewards. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Claim your healing by faith. Okay? And then give God thanks. And you're doing that by faith as well. Give God thanks. So I'm going to stop right here. Let's bow our heads in